Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Yesterday was Veterans Day. What does one veteran of the war in Afghanistan think about it and about her deployment? Let's go in-depth with Captain Jody Marty, Knoxville. So, Captain, how did you get into the Guard?
I actually got into the Guard a little bit later in life. I enlisted when I was 31. My dad was in the military, and my brother was in the military, and uncles, and I had thought about it and thought about it, and I was able to, a gentleman that I worked with was in the Guard, and I was talking about it one evening at work, and he's like, oh, well, I'll set you up with our recruiter, and he did, and that's, the rest is history, I guess. That was 10 plus years ago.
And now you're a captain.
Yes.
How does that feel?
It's awesome, actually.
Well, so is that rising through the ranks fairly quickly?
Well, it is. I had my degree already when I enlisted. I had my bachelor's degree. So I went to basic training at 31. And then normally the progression then is to go to AIT, Advanced Individual Training. I didn't have to do that because I had my degree already. So I was going in a program that they called, I was taking an officer track. So I didn't go to AIT. I just went to basic, and then I came back, and I got sent to OCS, then Officer Candidate School at Camp Dodge.
And so then, what did you do then?
Officer Candidate School. That's 18 months. It's similar to a drill schedule where you every month, and then your 2 weeks a year is spent in kind of training, and then you take your commission. And then you go to OBC, Officer Basic School, and Officer Basic Course, and did that. That was 4 months at Fort Lee. Came back. I was platoon leader then, of course, and then actually I was platoon leader here in Knoxville in 3654. And then I went to Oskaloosa and was a detachment commander there, and same with 5-4 in Oskaloosa. And then I was first lieutenant, second lieutenant during that time. And then when I couldn't be a detachment commander, and I was coming up onto my ability to be promoted, and so I got promoted to captain and went to 185th CSSB at Camp Dodge. And so I was at battalion for a period of time. And then in 2010... I was given the opportunity to be a company commander and deploy with a forward support company that was attached to an infantry battalion. So I deployed as a company commander in 2010 and then got back in 2011. And then in August of 2012, I relinquished my command, and now I'm at battalion 334 BSB.
And where's that?
At Camp Dodge.
At Camp Dodge. Okay. Now, you said you were deployed. You were deployed where?
Afghanistan.
Okay, so you were a company commander in Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
And is that rare to be a female company commander in Afghanistan?
I was the only... Of course, that was when the brigade, the 234 BCT, that's when they deployed, you know, so there were so many soldiers from Iowa were gone there for that year and a half. And I was the only female company commander on that deployment. It's not necessarily odd to be a female company commander, but what's odd is to be, or unique, I should say, is to be a female company commander in an infantry battalion. Because obviously the infantry are combat arms, and women aren't allowed in the combat arms. But my company took care of the infantry battalion. The infantry battalion, they used to have, combat arms units used to have a little slice of maintenance, and they used to have their own cooks, and they used to have their own ability to take care of themselves. Well, they did some rearranging a few years ago, and the infantry, the combat arms, they can't support themselves. And so they, what they do then is attach this forward support company, FSC, to a combat arms unit. So the infantry has an FSC, and the artillery has an FSC, and the cavalry have an FSC. And we take care of maintaining their trucks or maintaining their weapons. We have the, we supply them with cooks. We are their distribution. If what they, whatever they need, we're the ones that haul it to and from. So that's what we do.
And so you coordinated all that?
Yes.
You were the boss of all that?
Yes.
Well, that sounds like a very complex and difficult job. Or are there systems in place that you just automatically utilize so it's relatively straightforward, or is there a lot of judgment calls on the ground?
Oh, there's a, when in a combat arena like we were in, there's a lot of judgment calls. I mean, you have to decide. Where we were in Afghanistan, we were not all centrally located. The infantry battalions, I mean, we were at our headquarters, so we were located with the battalion, but then the infantry companies were scattered and in our area of operation. And so, let's say Alpha Company of the 1st of the 133 Infantry Battalion, that's a light infantry. So those are, you know, they refer to them as ground pounders. Those are the soldiers that are out fighting the fight. They're fighting the enemy. Well, we have to get supplies to them. And so we would have a schedule set up to take supplies, but it was all dependent on what was going on in their area, whether we could get there or whether we couldn't get there. They were a little higher up in the mountains, so maybe there was snow or maybe there was bad weather. So it was all contingent on what was going on that day.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Captain Jody Marty. You mentioned the role of females in combat, that women aren't allowed. What do you think about that? It seems like Afghanistan, there's a whole lot of it is combat area. I mean, it's
yes,
like,
it is.
It's hard to draw a line.
Right. And it's, we were, me and the females, and my female soldiers were out there with the infantry. We had, when we were in Afghanistan, we had what we called female engagement teams. And actually, the Marines started the female engagement teams years ago, but you didn't really hear a whole lot about them. And when we left, they were really ramping up the female engagement teams. And what that is, because in Afghanistan, when the soldiers go out, the male infantry soldiers, when they go out into a village and they're wanting to find out if there are insurgents or if there are caches of weapons or what stuff is going on in the village, they can only talk to the men. They can't talk to the women. It's not allowed. And so these female engagement teams were a really important piece. And so my teams would go out when the infantry soldiers were going out on missions. I had a female engagement team that I would send with them. And so they would go out so they could pat search the women and talk to the women and talk to the kids, because the men couldn't talk to the kids either. And we would get a lot of information from the women that the male soldiers wouldn't be allowed to get. So we were right there beside them. I have my CAB, if that gives you any.
What's CAB?
Combat Action Badge.
And the only, that's an indication.
And the only reason that I don't have a CIB is because they won't allow me in the infantry.
Combat Infantry Badge.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about that? Is that, you probably get tired of questions regarding women's issues, do you?
No.
No, okay. So what do you think about that, the role of women in combat? Can you share your opinion?
I don't think they should differentiate because of gender. I don't think there is a differentiation because of gender. Now, are there some areas of operation that it may not be as conducive to put women in? Absolutely. And in fact, that was a decision that I had to make. Where Alpha Company was a place called Najil. And it was remote. I mean, they burned their feces. That's the only way they had to get rid of it. So it was very remote. And I had to make a decision who I was going to put up there for their mechanics and who I was going to put up there for their cooks. I had female mechanics and I had female cooks. It was not, I chose not to do that. I chose not to put female mechanics or female cooks at Najil, for instance. And it wasn't because I didn't think that they could handle the environment necessarily, or that I didn't think that they could handle the attacks. It was because, it was more really because of hygiene issues. Sometimes they had showers, sometimes they didn't. They didn't have a place for waste, and they had to burn everything. And so I chose, as the company commander, I chose not to place my females there, more because of that. Not because I didn't think that they could handle the mission, more because of their health reasons.
And so how would you characterize your service in Afghanistan? Was it, I mean, do you have some words for it? Was it interesting? Was it valuable? Was it something that you didn't want to do? Something that you...
I can tell you that it was absolutely the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And unless I'm a battalion commander in a combat arena, probably the most rewarding thing I'll ever do. I want to be back in Afghanistan almost every day.
Why?
I miss it. I miss being there. I miss my soldiers. I miss being a company commander. I miss the infantry guys. I miss the other company commanders.
You miss being an important part of something we're trying to solve.
Yes. Very much. Very much. If they told me I could go back to Afghanistan tomorrow, I'd be ready to go.
And why aren't you back there?
I struggle with that, actually, because you can volunteer for deployments, but I'm married, and I have two boys, and I'm currently working on my master's degree. So the rational part of me says I need to stay home and I need to take care of what's here at home first, and then I'll get the opportunity to go back at some other point.
So you're just waiting.
I'm just waiting.
It's like you're a great basketball player on the bench. You just want to get in the game.
Yeah. And I think my deployment would, if I deployed now being on battalion staff, my deployment would, I don't know that my deployment would be as rewarding. Where I was, we were in a fairly remote area. And then, like I said, the other companies, the infantry companies, and I spent a lot of time at all of them, were even more remote. If I went to Afghanistan today, I would be, you know, in Jalalabad, or I would be in Bagram. I would be out in the mountains. And so I don't think that my deployment, if I deployed now on the battalion staff, would be as rewarding as it was as a company commander with the 133.
You want to be on the front lines.
Yeah.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Captain Jody Marty. What is it about the front lines? Is it the adrenaline? Is it where you're really making a difference? What is
I think
it?
So. I think you see it. I mean, when you're in those big cities in Afghanistan like Jaff or Jalalabad, we called it Jaff, or Baf, we called Bagram Baf. So if when you're in those, and we call them that, BAF is Bagram Airfield and Jaff, Jalalabad, Jalalabad Airfield, that's just how we referred to them. When you're in those cities, I mean, you see the Afghans, but it's kind of like, you know, I guess it's kind of like being in Knoxville and seeing the farmers here in Knoxville and the people that are here and taking care of things. And then you go to Des Moines and it's just very busy and it's all hustle bustle, and or maybe Omaha or Minneapolis, and it's all hustle bustle, and nobody, you just don't, you kind of feel like nobody really pays attention to you, or you really have no importance there. mean, you kind of go to those city and you do what you need to do and you come. But here, I mean, you can be involved in the community and your people know you in the community. And when you do things like that we did this morning with putting up the flags, people recognize that. And that's the same in Afghanistan. When we were in Metarlam, my first sergeant and I, first sergeant at the time, he's master sergeant now, my first sergeant Tom Newton, and I, we would go periodically, and my XO, Lieutenant Holtz, we would go outside our gate because we would have, there would be kids there. There were kids everywhere. And we would go outside and they would be waiting for anything, handouts basically. And they would take anything. They'd take pens or they would take food or they would take whatever. And we would buy things or we had a lot of people send us things. And we would take that stuff out for the kids. And so you'd get to go out there and you would talk to them. And I'd talk to them, obviously fairly broken because I had to use an interpreter. But I would talk to them about, why aren't you in school? When's school? What time is school? And I would give them, we would give them notebooks and we would give them pencils. And so you're right there in the community and you're talking to the elders in the community. When you go out on the missions and you're talking to the elders. And in my case, when we had the female engagement teams, I would get to go out and I would get to talk to the females in the village, and nobody talked to the females in the village. And I mean, that's pretty cool.
Are we making a difference in Afghanistan? Is there such thing as winning in Afghanistan?
I don't think it's a win-lose situation. I think that we have done some really, really good things to help. One of the things that we do is the agriculture teams. Iowa sent an agricultural team over, and you know, they help the farmers and learn about their livestock and how to better care for their livestock, how to care for their crops better. So we've absolutely helped them because they're able to produce more crops and they're able to take care of their animals better. One of our main missions in Afghanistan was to help the ANA, the Afghan National Army, and the ANP, the Afghan National Police, and teach them how to defend themselves when the insurgents come. And we did good things there. We helped them. And we were co-located with a KANDAK, which is the equivalent of a battalion. It's an Afghan battalion. It's called the KANDAK. And we were co-located. Our battalion and their KANDAK were co-located in Metarlam. And we were over there all the time helping Colonel Sherzaman and Sergeant Major Baki. And so we have done good things. I don't think it's a win-lose situation.
Well, that's how the media often presents it, isn't it?
It is, I don't think you can. It's not like a basketball game. You don't keep score. It's how, you know, did we help? And I think when you can show that you've helped, that's a win. Have we lost? Absolutely, we've lost. But there's definitely been circumstances where we've won, if you have to put it into that kind of a context. But I don't think there's a win or a lose. I think we've gone over there and I think we've done really good things, and I think that we've helped the Afghan population.
Now, this is going to air on Monday. Veterans Day would have been yesterday on Sunday. And you referenced the flag raising at Graceland, where you gathered with a bunch of other people and raised flags. How did that make you feel?
It's kind of mixed emotions. My feeling is, let's get this done. We got work to do, and you're going along. And then once you get so many flags up and you start to see them, then it starts getting a little emotional. And then, because it's really quite a sight, to see the flags and see so many and just see them presented so well. And so then it starts to get a little emotional. And then TAPS, it almost pushes you over the edge.
And seeing all the veterans of various ages.
Yeah, that's, you know, and talking to them, and they've all got their Korean War, you know, their Korean veterans hats on or their Vietnam hats on. And it's amazing. I mean, that's just amazing that they still come out and they still do that, and they have amazing stories.
Any thoughts you'd like to share with the listening audience about our veterans?
I just want to say that just to think about, a lot of people will have Monday off of their jobs, and I think people forget why they have it off. I think they just take for granted that it's another federal holiday, or and, oh, this is great, I have a long weekend, and I can get some shopping done, or I can get, you know, some maybe some winterizing done or something like that, and they don't really stop and think about why they have the day off. And they have the day off because of people that went over and they fought hard, and a lot of people died. And those that come back sometimes are not well, and that those who that's who we should be remembering, even if it's just to take a second just to for silence and just say thank you silently. That would be a good thing.
Thanks to Captain Jody Marty for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.